All right, we're going to begin on the two dots by Yud Aleph and Aleph. Here, the Gemara is continuing the discussion from yesterday. The Gemara presented the position that when he uses the word Vayidaber in Sefer Yoshua, it's Lashon Hazah. So it says, Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda Rabbonon. They argue about the reason that it says Vayidaber but Lashon Hazah. Chadam b'pnei Shishihem. One of them says that the problem here, or why Hashem spoke harshly with Yeshua, is because he actually delayed the implementation of the Arei Miklat, that Yeshua didn't do it until Hashem came and told him to do it. So that's why Hashem was upset. Chadomer, which is the opinion that we saw yesterday, Mipnei Shein Shel Torah, that because they were a Torah mitzvah, that's why Hashem uses the harsher tone, or the stronger tone, by those of Torah. Vayichtov Yeshua tedvarim eile b'sefer Torat Elukim. What does it mean that Yeshua wrote these in the Sefer Torat Elukim? What's the Sefer Torat Elukim? Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda v'Rem Nechemya. Chad omer shmona psukim. One of them says it's the last 8 psukim of the Torah, which we have a machlokas about whether they were nichtava yidei Moshe or nichtava yidei Yeshua. So in his opinion, they're written by Yehoshua, and that's what it means that he added those 8 psukim into the Sefer Torat Elukim. Chad omer arei miklat. That's talking about the arei miklat, because that's something that Yehoshua did or implemented. Bishlam Alaman Damar Chet Psukim, one who says that it's Tishmona Psukim, Hainu Dichtiv B'Sefer Torat Elohim. That's why it means that he wrote it in the Sefer Torat Elohim, he wrote it into the Torah itself. Alaman Damar Emiklat, my Sefer Torat Elohim, Hachikamar. Bichtov Yoshua B'Sifro, et the Devarim Ha'ele, Aktuvim B'Sefer Torat Elohim. Yeshua wrote this down in his own Sefer, but these are found, or something that was found in the Sefer Torat Elohim. So that's a mitzvah from the Torah that he documented in his Sefer as well. Sefer shetafro b'pishtan. Sefer that you stitch it with pishtan. Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Meir. It's machlokas. Right? Sefer Torah that is stitched together with a pishtan. It's machlokas Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Meir. Chad omer kasher. One says that's no problem. Chad omer pasul. One of them says it's pasul. The man damer pasul. Dichtiv. One of them says pasul. It makes sense. Why? Because man tiyet Torat Hashem beficha. That the Torah Hashem has to be beficha. This is by the mitzvah of tefillin. By the mitzvah of tefillin, we learned that it says, Ma diyeh Torah Hashem beficha, that it has to be mina mutar beficha. So then it's mutar for you to eat. So therefore, v'itkish kol Torah kula tefillin. Ma tefillin halocha the Moshe Mitzinah the tofran begidin. Just like by tefillin, not only is there the requirement, mina mutar beficha means that something is permissible to eat, has come from a kosher animal. Also, there's halocha the Moshe Mitzinah that they have to be stitched with gidin. All stam. Right, all Sefer Torah will have to be, Sefer Torah Mitzvot will have to be stitched with Gidim. V'idach, ki itgish the motar beficha. So the Hilchot Tav lo itgosh. The Hekesh really revolves around that one issue, which is, min amutar beficha, that has to be from a kosher animal. But halacha l'moshe m'sinai, you can't say that there's a Hekesh. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai is a din that's particular to each item. And that din is particular to tefillin. Amarav. Right. It's not an issue in Motar Beficha. It's a separate issue. It's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai by Tefillin. The question is, do we apply it to Sefer Torah from Tefillin? We already have the limud of Motar Beficha we learn from Tefillin. The question is, do we learn out all the other lachos? It's my focus. Right here, one says, no, the only din we learn is Motar Beficha. That's what we know we learn from Tefillin to Sefer Torah about the klaf. The klaf has to be mutar b'ficha. Even though it's written by tefillin, we still apply it to Sefer Torah, the same day.
But that's not a question. The question isn't what if you're, and what you're supposed to write in this.
No, so then the question is, other dinim that relate to the writing of a mezuzah, do we also bring those over to Sefer Torah? That's the machlokas. So Amar Rav, chazinanu the tefillin debei chavivi. Saw the tefillin of my beloved, probably it's Rav Chia. Right, his uncle. I saw those with tfire bekitna, that they were nitfar with kitna, with through pishtan. The late hilchos kavate. An aloch is not like that. We don't tofer our sefer Torah with pishtan, and certainly we don't do our tefillin with pishtan. Right, there's also another girsa here that also uses it. You know, azina lehula sifrei debei chavivi, which would make more sense because why the lacha moshzina sinai is already written by tefillin. There's not a question, right? The question really applies or is relevant by the sefer Torah. Okay, next mishnah: echad mishuach v'shemer amishcha v'echad amiruba bebigadim. Doesn't matter how he became kohen gadol, whether he was anointed by the shemer amishcha or whether he became the kohen gadol through the fact that he wore the 8 bigadim, because from the time of Yoshiyahu v'elech they were nignaz. the Shemen HaMishka. It means Kohanim Gedolim until the time of Yoshiyahu were anointed with the Shemen HaMishka. From that point forward, they were classified as Kohanim Gedolim because they wore the eight bigdei kihuna. Ve'achad shavar memishichuto. Or someone who was a Kohen Gadol temporarily. He filled in when the Kohen Gadol was pasul or had some issue and he filled in. That's a Kohen Gadol shofar mishichuto. He served at some point as a Kohen Gadol and now he's no longer a Kohen Gadol. All of these, machzir et rotzeach. All of them, they have the ability to bring the rotzeach back. And if they, any of these pass away, the rotzeach goes free from the ir miklat. Yudomer af meshuach milchama machzir et rotzeach. Not only did the three Kohanim Gadolim bring him back, but also Meshuach Melchama, the one who's anointed to lead the troops, to read the psukim and to do the whole tekes that's mentioned in Sefer Dvarim to before they got to war. The fikach was because of this. Therefore, their mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim go to the Arei Miklat and provide food and clothing. So they won't daven that their sons should die. They try to make their existence or their life in the Arei Miklat a little easier or better, so that they discourage them from wanting to leave or to discourage them from davening that their children should die and they'll be able to go free. So, how do we know that all of these different types of Kohanim Gedolim qualify? So, Amar of Kano, Damar Kua, the Pasuk says, Vayeshev ba admot ha-Kohen ha-Gadol. So, first of all, it says, it must say that you stay there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Uchtiv. And then it also says in Bamidbar in Pasuk Masai, Ki bi'ir miklato yeshev admot ha-Kohen Gadol. So, again, here, he stays in the Ir Miklat until the death of the Kohen Gadol. So, if that's already twice that the word Kohen Gadol was mentioned in the Parsha, Uchtiv, and then we have one, which is, Bachrei Mot HaKohen HaGadol, then he's able to return, Mishabu Chuzato, he's able to go back. So you see the word Kohen Gadol is mentioned three times in the Psukim in Parshat Maseh, and that's for the reason of there are three different Kohanim Gadolim that could be included. That's Kohen HaMashuach B'Shevet HaMishka, Kohen is Ruba Megadim, and a Kohen Shavar Mishichuto. Yudaktiv, Achreina, there's an additional Pasuk which says, Hashuv, Hashevet Be'eret Admota Kohen. So he go back and he can live in land. He can't go back to live until the time of the death of the Kohen. So there, the Gemara says, Ve'idach, why the Rabbanan not count that Kohen? It's Loktiv Gadol. That's the name Kohen HaGadol, Chad Mehanachu. It's referring back, right? It's referencing, it's really almost like a pronoun for the other Kohanim Gedolim. When it mentions the Kohen here, it's referencing back to the other one of the three Kohanim Gedolim mentioned in the Parsha. Fikach imutayem shel Kohanim. Therefore, the mothers come along and provide supplies, food for the Kohanim Gedolim. Taima delo matzlu. The only reason the Kohanim Gedolim don't die is because the people in the Arei Miklat, the Horgei Bishogeg, do not daven. Ha matzlu, had they davened, mighty, the Kohanim Gedolim would die. I mean, that the Imotayim are coming to bring their food so that they won't daven. Because if they do daven, what's going to happen? The Kohanim Gedolim die. Why? Vaktiv, don't we have a pasuk, katzipur lanud, right, like the bird that wanders, kadror lauf, and like the swallow that flies off, kain kidlat chinam. So too is a curse, right, a curse of chinam, which is an unnecessary curse. Lo tavo. Right, now this is going to be a little difficult. Lo tavo. In the pasuk, the ktiv is lo with an aleph, which is lo tavo, which is what the Gemara is after over here, which is lo tavo. Just like the bird wanders and the bird flies away, so too a klat chinam, lo tavo with a lam and aleph is it will not come true. But in reality, the kriya of the pasuk is lam and vav, which is lo tavo. Kilat chinam lo tavo, which is that it will, right? Kilat chinam lo tavo will come to him. So the way they interpret the pasuk is lo tavo means the one who makes, the one who curses, the curse will come back on them. So that's the way Chazal learned the lo tavo, meaning the kriya of lo lamed vav is that just like the bird flies and wanders around, so too someone who gives a curse chinam lo tavo will bounce back on him, will come back on him.
It will work.
It will work, right? That could be the right. That could be pshat in the pasuk. That's lo tavo. I was just telling you that the Gemara here is reading it with the Ktiv, which is the Lamed Aleph, because that's what they went, Lo Tavo will not come true. But even if you read it with the Lamed Vav, which sounds like what you're saying, the Pshat Apostle, is that it will come true. And nevertheless, Chazal interpret the Lo Tavo to go back on the one who cursed. And that's how they get out of the out of this, you know, saying that it's not a statement that it will come true. So how Amar Hausabo Mipirke de Rava, there was this elderly gentleman who was in the thresh of Rava, Shmieli, I heard, Shayalahan Levakesh Rachamim al Doran Velo Bak Bikshu. They should have asked for a Rachamim Velo Bikshu, and they did not ask for that Rachamim. And that's why it's not a Kilat Chinam. It's not Kilat Chinam because they're at fault. The Kohanim Gadolim are at fault because they did not daven that the door would not have these types of accidents that happen. So there is a responsibility on their shoulders. Ve'ika d'matne k'dei sh'itpalu al-b'nehem sh'lo yamutu. Some say that... Right, that there is. There's a certain amount of responsibility. The leadership of the generation or of the, in that case, the city, have to take responsibility for what happens. So here, k'dei sh'itpalu al-b'nehem sh'lo yamutu. Some say that it's the opposite. It's a positive statement. That the mothers of the Kohanim Gadolim provided this sustenance, food and clothing, in order that they should daven for the well-being of their sons. Time of the matzlu. So because they daven, that's what saves their sons. How the matzlu mighty? Had they not davened, they if they don't daven, the Kohanim Gadolim are going to pass away. My havalei lemevad. What did he do wrong that they need to daven to protect his life? He wasn't the one who killed. So my says, Ach Amrinan, Tuvia Chota, Vizigud Mangid, Tuvia sins, and Zigud gets Malkut. So this is a story from, by Rav, that a aide showed up and gave testimony. But he was an aide Echad that showed up and gave testimony, and Rav gave him Malkut. Why? Because an aide Echad is just Lashon Abisha, it's just Lashon Ara, and he has no value. Single aid can't bring about any punishment, can't bring about any verdict, and therefore Rav gave him Malkus. So the response of this individual was, Tovya Chata, he was the one who sinned, Vizingud Mid, Zigud, the aid, Mingad is the one who gets Malkut. So from that point forward, it became an expression. It became a part of the, right, the Hebrew language, we'll call it, part of the Aramaic language, is that that was a common expression. That if you want to say someone does something wrong and another person gets the punishment, so it's over here. The Kohen Gadol, it says, the Ahoreg B'Shogeg, he did something wrong, and I am going to get punished for it. Or Hata Mamre, on the other hand, they have in Eretz Yisrael, they have it, Shchem Nasiv, Omei Bagai, or Baga Gazir. I mean, Shchem got married, or Shchem basically got all the benefit of taking Dinah, right, when he took her. And what was the deal when he took her? That everybody, the whole city had to get a Brit Milah. So here, he got all the benefits, Shchem, and the whole city gets a Brit Milah. What do they get besides a Brit Milah? They just get cut. So the word Badba is a question whether it could either mean a name of someone in the city of Shechem, or Baga can mean Ovdei Adama, which means the workers of the fields, and that they're regular people. The Shechem was the prince. He gets all the benefit, and everybody else gets all the pain. The same idea here that the Kohen Gadol is going to say, listen, what is it that, why is this person who is Horeg B'Shogeg, he's an Ir Miklat, he's the one who sinned, and now all of a sudden now the punishment's coming on me and he has to daven for me? So how Saba Pirkei D'Rabba, so the same expression that Rukhmar says, Ikadaman is that this answer, the Shmieli, Sha'elein Levakesh Rachamim Adoram, Lo Bikshu, En Ochanami, they are responsible. They have a certain amount of culpability because they should have asked Rachamim on their generation. The fact that they didn't brings a certain amount of culpability, and therefore they need the davening of the Horeg B'Shogeg who suffered because they didn't daven. He has to daven on behalf of the Kohen Gadol to protect him. This individual who was eaten by a lion or attacked by a lion, three parsaot away from Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and Yoyovi, who used to visit Rabbi Shua ben Levi on a regular basis, for 3 days he was on strike. Because somebody had died within three parsaot of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and again, what's the implications for me are there's a certain amount of culpability to Rabbi Shua ben Levi that somebody died within three parsaot of him, that nobody should be dying in his sphere, let's call it sphere of influence, because he should be dominating that nobody is affected in that area. So now, Amarav, Tulat Chacham Afilu Bichinam Iba, Min Olon, how do we know that? Miachi Tofel, Tishabishash, Shkara David Shitin. So it says, David, when he was digging the foundation for the Beit HaMikdash, when he began, He went to Natan HaNavi, he wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. Eventually Natan HaNavi comes back to him, not in Shmuel, but in Divrei Yamim, and explains that you can't do it because you have blood on your hands, therefore you're not the one to build it. But nevertheless, David prepares everything. He digs the foundation, he gets all the materials, but Shlomo is the one who actually physically builds it. So David went to start digging the foundation. Kofa Tahoma. So there's a medrash that he hit. At some point he reaches a piece of pottery, and the piece of pottery calls out and says, "Don't move me! Don't move me! If you move me, the whole world will be flooded." Because from the time of, whether it was the time of the Mabul, on top of the access to the Tahom, to the depths, if you take it off, the depths will come up over here. So David didn't listen and went ahead and took the piece of pottery anyway. And when he took it off, of course, the world began to bow the Mishtafa Alma. The world began to flood. Amar, Ma'u Lichtov Shem Achaspo Umishka Bitoma. Right, so the Leka Aduchte. Is it possible to write the Shem Hashem on a piece of cheres, to throw it down to this hole, right, where the water is coming up from, and that will block it up, that will stop it. So I want to know if that's permissible. David asked the halachic question, he says, is that permissible to go and be mochek the Shem Hashem in order to stop the Tahom from coming up? Leka damar le midei. Nobody responded, nobody gave him answer. Amar kol yodea davar zev eino umro. Anybody who knows the answer, if it doesn't say it, yechanak begrono. He will be choked. He's going to choke to death. Nas Achitovel kavachomer ma'atzmo. Achitovel steps up and says, I have a kavachomer. Amar, umala sot shalom ben ish lishto. When it comes to sota, where the Torah is trying to create peace between a husband and a wife, amra Torah. Right, the Torah says, Shmish nechta biktusha yimachel amayim, that my name that is written biktusha should be erased by the waters, meaning that's numerous askarot Hashem that are erased there in Parshat Sotah. The chol olam kulo lo kol shekein, to save the entire world lo kol shekein. Amalei shari. Chitovo answers up, mutalach. Right, that's good. Kotav shem achaspa, they wrote the shem achaspa, shodi at tahoma, they threw it into the tahom. Nachot, it stopped coming up. Kama duchte. Right, and it stood and it stopped overflowing. So that's what they should do maybe now in the Gulf of Mexico. They want to know how to stop all the oil coming out. They just have to cheres with the Shem Hashem. Nevertheless, k'tiv, v'achitofu ra'a kilo nesta atzato. So here is when Avshalom rebels against David HaMelech. Achitofel joins with the rebellion of Avshalom. He's the advisor to Avshalom. He gives him advice, but Hushai HaKig also gives him advice. And he listens to Hushai, who is a spy of David, who's trying to turn the battle. And he knows if Achitofel's listened to, then they're going to lose. Achitofel sees that he's not going to be listened to. Lo nestat zato, v'yachavosh et chamor, v'yakom v'yilach el beito. He goes back home, el iro, to his city, v'yitzav el beito. He gives his last will and testament, v'yachanak. And he commits suicide, he chokes himself to death, because he realizes that it's all lost, that it's only a matter of time now whether David's going to win against Avshalom, because they didn't listen to Achitofel. So you see here, how did the Achitofel meet his end? By Yechanak. Why was that? Because that was the Kilidat Chinam of David. He said, anybody who knows and doesn't say should be choked. But in the end, Achitofel did say it, so he didn't deserve the punishment. Nevertheless, Kilidat Chacham Bechinam does come true. Am Rabbi Yivau, Kilidat Chacham Afilu Atzenai Hiba. Kilidat Chacham, even al tnai, on condition, comes true. Where do we know that from? Minolan? Mi Eli. Comes from Eli. Eli HaKohen. Eli Kohen realizes that Shmuel, who's living with him, who he brought up, starts to get nevuah. And Shmuel gets a nevuah from Hashem that he really doesn't want to tell to Eli, because nevuah basically says that Eli is going to be punished severely for the fact that his children are acting in an immoral way. And the kuhuna gdola will be taken from him, and his children, his family will be wiped out. It's a horrible, horrible nevuah about Beit Eli. Shmuel gets this, and of course, Shmuel has no interest in telling Eli about this nevuah, because why would he want to repeat this to his quote-unquote, it's almost like his foster father, Eli, and it's a horrible nevuah, he doesn't want to repeat it. So Eli comes to Shmuel and says to him, Shem should do this to you, and could even more, if you withhold from me, if you are afraid and withhold from me anything. So he's threatening Shmuel to speak up and say what he heard in the Nevoah. And what does Shmuel do? Shmuel goes ahead and tells him the entire Nevoah, this horrible Nevoah towards Beit Eli. And nevertheless, what happens? So Eli says, if you don't tell me, this was what happened to you. Now, in the end, Shmuel tells him, so the curse shouldn't come true. What was the curse? What was the curse about? What was wrong with Beit Eli? Was that his children were immoral. They went off the derech. They didn't have to follow the way of their father. What does it say by Shmuel? Shmuel does everything, doesn't leave a word out. And later on in Shmuel it says, when they're about to, when they appoint the king, shows the king, that Shmuel's children also don't follow in his ways. So that's the curse of Eli. This will happen to you if you don't tell me everything. In the end, Shmuel did tell him everything. Nevertheless, it came true, which is that his children did not follow in his ways, did not follow in his footsteps. I just will point out, now, what's important here is actually the story of David that we just spoke about, that says that the Kilat Chinam comes true. It's a little difficult, that story, because it's dealing with Achitofel and the building of the foundation of the Beit HaMikdash. David HaMelech does not buy the property of Arnon of Yisi until the end of Shmuel, the end of the Sefer Shmuel. Achitofel dies, or kills himself in the middle of Sefer Shmuel at the merit of Shalom. So if you're talking about Achitofel dying and then David giving a curse about digging the Shittin, it's out of order. It's nowhere near. So Rashi asks this question on the previous daf. He says, "Yesh teima b'davar shelo kana David et a goren marzer avana ha yivusi ad maseh de asata." Till that question where he gets tricked, you know, gets pulled by the malach and he goes in and counts the people. Shaita lachar mitat Achitofel gimel shanim. It's 3 years later. And he knew already from when he was a young kid where the Beit HaMikdash would be placed. That's where it says, "Vayishvuhu Shmuel b'Noyot HaRama ubadku b'Sefer Yoshua umatzu makom Beit HaMikdash." Midrash, that they already were checking out, they knew where the place of Mikdash was. That was already a known fact. And therefore, he started to build the foundations, which is interesting because he had yet to buy the property from Avona Yibusi, and he's digging up his land to build the foundations. Rashi makes such a suggestion that they already knew where Yerushalayim was, and he already had started to do some work on the foundations before he bought the property. But he started to dig, either in, he got permission from Avona or in his own place. David owned property, you know, in Ir David, already next, adjacent to it. So whatever he did, he dug with permission, but it's still, you have to deal with the fact that the Midrash is really out of order, chronologically is really out of order, in terms of this story. Okay, now the Gemara says, "Amar Yudam Rav, Nidui Al Tnai Tzarech Hafara." Now, this is to what you just said, Shaul. Shaul was telling us that maybe the problem here with these Kilat Chinam of a Chacham, as well as the Kilat Al Tnai, you require some sort of Hatara, you require some sort of Mechila in order to remove the Klala. So that we say more of an explicit sense, Nidui Al Tnai, and Nidui, that's an excommunication that's done, Al Tnai on condition, Tzarech Hafara needs to be annulled. So you see from this exactly that concept, which is that even though the Nidui never takes effect because it was on condition, nevertheless it requires some sort of annulment. So that's exactly what you were suggesting. So also, Minalan Miyuda. You know, this is Midam Nichtiv, Im Loi Viti Velecha V'chatati Lecha Kol HaYamim. That's what Yehuda says to his father Yaakov with regards to Binyamin. If I don't bring him back to you, V'chatati Lecha Kol HaYamim, Va'amar Rabbi Shmuel V'Nachmeni Rabbi Yonatan Mai Nichtiv. Why does it say the pasuk in Zot HaBracha, Yechi Ruvain Va'ayamot, and then adjacent to that, juxtaposed to that is Vizot Yehuda. Why is Yehuda right after Yechi Ruvain Va'ayamot? It's because Kol Otan Mem Shana Shayehu Yisrael Va'midbar Atzmotav Shayehuda Yom Galgulim Ba'arod. His bones were rolling around. Ad Shemod Mad Moshe V'Kesh La'Brachamim. Until Moshe stood up and asked for Rachamim. I mean that the, when Yehuda says, V'chatati Lecha Kol Yamim, Chatati Lecha Kol Yamim means, Nidui, I'll be excommunicated, I'll be lose my Olam Abba, so on and so forth. Now in the end, Yehuda does return Binyamin to Yaakov. I mean, he brings back Binyamin and Yaakov is fine. Meaning that the Tnai shouldn't have come true. Nevertheless, we see in Zot HaBracha that it does come true. And that Yehuda has this issue that his bones are rolling around to Moshe Etz Rachamim. What is that? Amar Lefav Ribono Shalom, Mi Garam Luvain Shiyodeh. Who's the one that caused Ruvain to do tshuva? Yehuda, he's the one who did it. Vizot said, what was Yehuda? Yehuda did the tshuva, or Yehuda did by Tamar, Tzadka Mimeni. Alright, and then Ruvain had the sin of, Pilegesh Aviv. Right, Vaishkav Im Bila Pilegesh Aviv. So over there, he had to do tshuva for that action. So he had to do tshuva for that action because, so what caused him to do tshuva for that action? The fact that Yehuda already had done tshuva by the Maaseh Tamar, that encouraged Reuven also to do tshuva. Now this turns out to be, just to clarify, it's a machlokas ha-midrashim, because the midrash also says by the sale of Yosef, that Reuven comes back later and sees that the boar is empty. And the midrash asks, where was Reuven that the boar, he comes back, he doesn't know that they sold him. It was his day to be Mishamesh Aviv, is one midrash. The other one was that, Haya Osek Pesacho V'Tanito. That he was Osek Pesacho V'Tanito to do tshuva, which means that preceded the story of Tamar. That's all before it, right? Vayered Yehuda Me'achav is after the story of Mechirat Yosef. So that would precede it. So it doesn't say, no problem. Machokot HaMidrashim. One midrash says that he did tshuva beforehand. The other midrash says, this midrash is indicating that he did tshuva after Yehuda. But you also have to say that this argues on another midrash, because the midrash in the Gemara says the Kol Omer She Reuven Chata Eina Elo Toeh. Anybody says Reuven did a sin is mistaken. Well, here you have in this Gemara that Reuven needs to do tshuva. Well, Reuven only needs to do tshuva if he's a choteh. So you have a series of midrashim here that all disagree, and that's a machlokas midrashim. So here you see that the midrash of the Gemara believes that Reuven Chata. Number two is that Reuven did tshuva only after the maaseh of Yehuda v'Tamar.
Doesn't sound that Reuven only did tshuva afterwards. He couldn't do tshuva before, but Yehuda publicly announced, you know, some coming in, right? So it could be that
okay. So that's, Tosfos gives your answer, Shaul, which is that Reuven had done tshuva already, but he hadn't done any public demonstration or public apology, right, for what he had done. So Yehuda, after he does it publicly with Tzadkom Yemeni, with the Tamar, then Reuven's encouraged also to do it publicly. Tosfos gives the answer that you just suggested. Right, so now, Vezot Yehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. So what does this mean? They're going to dissect the bracha by Yehuda. It says, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. Al Evrei L'Shafa. So that's when Moshe comes and davens for Yehuda, he says, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, is that Al Evrei L'Shafa. His bones return to their place and they stopped rolling around. But Bava Kamal, they still weren't letting him into, I don't know if it's upstairs, into the Yeshiva Shel Malo. So then it says, Ve'el Amo Tivienu. So then they let him into the Yeshiva, El Amo Tivienu. He joins the rest of his brethren. Bava Koyoda, the Mishkal Mitrach or the Mitra Bishmaita Bahade Rabbana. He didn't know how to be involved in the learning. He didn't understand what they were saying. He couldn't be in the Masa V'Matan of the Torah up there. So it says, Yadav Ravlo. His hands will do his battle. I mean, that Moshe gives him the ability now to be in the battle of Torah so that he was able to do that. Lo Yava Yoda Lefruke Kushya. Nevertheless, even though he was in the battle of Torah, when someone asked a question on his position, he didn't know how to answer it. He couldn't answer back. That's Ezer Mitzarav Tiyah. There will be a help from his enemies to him. Obviously, the enemies here are not the real enemies, or those that bother him, but those that are, right, that are Mitzarim, or causing pain in Torah. So he'll have answers. Ezer, he'll have help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for them.
What are the latter reports of this immediately? Okay, so he was admitted, so the nidui was removed. Now all of a sudden we have to make him
The nidui has multiple implications. We see that by Rabbi Lezer ben Horkunus. Not only is he put into nidui, which they were matir after his death, they were matir the nidui. Nevertheless, that also took away all of his opinions. All of his opinions were then discarded halacha, right? And then also they become shamtai, so we don't mention his name and his opinion. Right, so the Gemara in other places says that his shmaitata didn't come out to libud hilchasa. That Yehuda's shmaita did not come out a libud hilchasa. That even though he's in Yeshiva Shomala, everything he said ended up being in the minority opinion. I think according to that, right, it's not over here that the Gemara Darshan says, "Ata yaducha achecha," that your brothers will admit to you. Aducha achecha would be given that your shmaita libud hilchasa. So over here you have this that idea that a libud hilchasa I think would fit more here about someone who's in nidui loses that ability, and therefore the removing of the excommunication is taking stages till the point where his mitkabel libud hilchasa. Alright. Ibailu, b'mitat kulan hu chuzer, odomo b'mitat echad mehem. Do they all have to die for him to go back? Or one of them? So Mar says, tashma, nigmar dino below kohen gadol, ina yutse misham leolam. Yes, the Gemara din, when there is no kohen gadol, he has to go out of there for all. B'mita, if there is, hader, b'hanach, right, b'danach. Right? What about the others? I mean, that, how could he have, if you think you only need one Kohen Gadol in order to free him from the Ir Miklat, then okay, he had a Gemara Din when there was no Kohen Gadol. But what about the, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, or Kohen Merubeh Begadim, or the Kohen Shabar Mishichato? What about these others? Why can't he use those to get out? So that, the Gemara suggests, means that you need all three of them to die in order for him to be freed. That's like, you know, forget about him ever leaving. So the Gemara says, no, but the Lekka. Who says you have to have? First of all, that's for instance, it's almost mutually exclusive. The Gemara has to deal with this. The Rishonim deal with this in one case by the Gemara. But how could you have a coin Mishuach, Bishem Mishcha, and a coin Merube Begadim? They're different, they're mutually exclusive. That means you have a coin Gadol, they're both Kohanim Gadolim. You don't have two on a Kohanim Gadolim. So either there were four Yoshiyahu and they're coin Mishuach, or the coin after Yoshiyahu, which is coin Merube Begadim. They don't happen at the same time. They're not simultaneous Kohanim. So again, the Gemara's answer is, no, in Ochanami, you could have it be one, but sufficient, just they weren't there together. I mean, the reason is Gemara didn't have it with no Kohen Gadol, because there's only one Kohen Gadol at that time. Gemara's inconclusive here, although the answer is that we do it based on Midat Echad Mehem, is enough. Next Mishnah. B'shignar Mido Dino Meit Kohen Gadol. If after it's Gemara Din, the Kohen Gadol passes away, or is it Enu Golet? It's a, you know, free pass. The Kohen Gadol dies right after his Gemara Din, right after his verdict is rendered. He doesn't go into Galut at all. He's freed right away. Before the Gemara Din, the Kohen Gadol dies away. And they replace that Kohen Gadol. And then they come to a verdict in his case. He's affected by the second Kohen Gadol. I mean, the Gemara Din is the important point in time. And therefore, at the point of Gemara Din, if it's the second Kohen Gadol, he goes back with that Kohen Gadol. Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol. If he has the Gemara Din, his verdict is rendered at the moment when there is no Kohen Gadol. Or, Hare Kohen Gadol, the one who kills the Kohen Gadol. Or, Kohen Gadol Sharag, Enu Yotzei Misham Neolam. They're stuck forever. Because then there is no Kohen Gadol at the time of their Gemara Din in order to free them. Veinu Yotzei, and someone is in Galut, Enu Yotzei, Lo Leidut Mitzvah, Imvrei Mitzvah, let's call that Eid Chodesh, something like that. V'lo le'idut mamon, he can't come out to testify in a civil case, monetary matters. V'lo le'idut nefasho, not in a capital case. V'afil Yisrael tzrichim lo, even if all chai Yisrael need him, v'afil usar tzva Yisrael ki Yoab ben Tzruya. The general of the army like Yoab ben Tzruya, everybody needs him, nevertheless, enu yotzei misham le'olam. Then I'll leave there forever. Shenemar, asher nas shama. What does it mean, asher nas shama? Sham tehei dirato. That he has to live there? Sham tehei mitato. He will die there. Sham tehei kvurato. That's where he will be buried. Kishem sha'ir koletet, kach tchuma kolet. So that we'll get to later on. We're not going to get to this today. We're going to get towards that later in the parak, which is that just like the Ir Miklat saves the person, so too the tchum of the city saves the horeg bishkaga. Rotzeach she yatza, chutz l'tchum, rotzeach that walks out of the Ir Miklat, umetzao goel adam, and the goel adam finds him. This is what Shaul was asking yesterday. Rabbi Yosef Gali Omer, mitzvah biyad goel adam. That's a mitzvah for the goel adam to kill him. If he leaves the Ir Miklat, mitzvah for the goel adam to kill him. Why? Because that's the deterrent for him leaving he won't leave the Ir Miklat. I mean, he has a fear because the goel adam will come and kill him. The other opinion is, but reshut biyad kol adam, and it's permissible for any other person to kill him. I mean that the kol adam is obligated as a mitzvah to kill him, whereas anybody else in Klal Yisrael kills him, reshut to kill him. Rabbi Akiva Omer, reshut biyad kol adam, but the kol adam it's optional to kill him. Kol adam biyisrael chayavin alav. If they kill him, they are chayav mita. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who we obviously do hold like. Right? So if you have the gifts of the Gra, which is el adam in chayavin alav, means that he has a mishpat mavet. But nevertheless, it's patur about asur. We don't encourage such behavior, but you're not going to be chayav if a person does such a thing. So by time, what's the reasoning for the Mishnah says over here about the Gemara Din? Amar Rabbi, kav chomer. Uma mish galak kvar yitzei achshav. So the person who was already put into galut, when the Kohen Gadol dies, he goes out. Me, shelo gala, someone who was never put into galut, enu din shelo yigle, certainly shouldn't have to go into galut. Meaning that, if it's all determined by the Kohen Gadol, after the Gemara Din, if he was living in galut already, he goes free with the Kohen Gadol. Here, we didn't even go, he shouldn't certainly have to go. Gemara says, wait a minute, that's a backwards logic. But Dilma, hi the galut, ichaperle. The one who went to galut already got kapara. That's why when the Kohen Gadol dies, he goes free. But this guy whose verdict was just rendered, the Kohen Gadol dies, he never went into galut. So maybe he doesn't have enough kapara for the Kohen Gadol to affect his case. Hi the galut. Gemara says, this is an important statement of the Gemara, Mida Galut Ka Mechapra? Galut is not, it's what not, what is Mechaper here? The Mitat Koin Gadol Hu De Mechaper. The what's Mechaper on the people who killed B'Shogeg is not their living in the Ir Miklat. It's the fact that the Koin Gadol dies. That's when the end, what? Brings them their Kapara, brings them their forgiveness. So the Gemara continues. Imachalon Igmar Dinam, Minahani Milit. Amar Rav Kana Makra, V'yeshiv Ba Ad Mot HaKohen HaGadol, Hashem Mashach Oto B'Shem HaKodesh. So it says that he'll stay there till the death of the Kohen Gadol, Hashem Mashach Oto, that was, he anointed B'Shem HaKodesh with the oil of Mishka, V'chi Hu Moshko. Wait, since when did the killer anoint the king? Allah Zesh Nimshach B'Yamav. Means the one who was anointed in his time. May Havaleh the Meivad. Again, why is the Kohen Gadol the one who's responsible for this individual, meaning that his death is what's going to free this individual? He should have been. So now over here we have two Kohanim Gadolim. One Kohen Gadol passes away before the person's verdict is rendered. He said, the case is going on, Kohen Gadol dies. New Kohen Gadol is appointed, and we say that the Gemara didn't happen after new Kohen Gadol, the person goes back with his mitat second Kohen Gadol. So now, if it was the first Kohen Gadol, I understand why his mitah is necessary for me to go free, because that Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol, should have asked Rachamim that such a murder should not have taken place, or manslaughter, that type of shogeg should never have happened. The fact that he did it, he has a certain amount of culpability. But the second Kohen Gadol that comes, he was not the Kohen Gadol when the crime happened. When the crime happened, he wasn't going to go. He's only going to go after, during the case. He has nothing to do with the fact that there was some sort of problem earlier. So why is his mitah relevant over here? What's the answer? The answer is that there's also a time at the verdict. The verdict could have rendered him innocent. The fact that the verdict rendered him guilty, that's the fault of the Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol should have davened for him, and then he would have gotten an innocent verdict. It's very strange. Meaning that maybe he is guilty. If he's guilty, well, why should the Kohen Gadol have to daven? So Tosu says there's
a question.
Right. Then there's perversion of justice. So Tosu says that there's this unusual case. It's an unusual case where if all the Dayanim say guilty in a capital case, the person goes free. Why? Because we said if there's unanimity in the case against this individual, that means nobody's melamed zchut on him, and we allow him to go free because we're scared that there's a problem in the case, that nobody ever looked to see what was good here. So Tosu says that's the case here. We want him, if he's really guilty, the fact that he didn't ask Rachamim for him, that they didn't all say he was guilty and he could go free with that, that's the Kohen Gadol's fault. So that's the fact that his chut didn't stand up for him. So Amar Rabbi, Naktina Nigmar Dino B'meit, Malachina Tatzmutav L'Sham. That if he has a Gmar Din, and then the Kohen, and he dies, meaning that, let's call the first of all, the individual here who has a Gmar Din and dies before they ever got him into Galut, then the Rotzeach, right, and then afterwards the Kohen Gadol dies, they take his Atzmutav L'Sham, they take his bones to the Ir Miklat, Tichtiv, L'Shuv L'Shevet V'Eretz Ad Mot HaKohen. That you have to go sit in that place, live in that place until the death of the Kohen. Wait, Ezu Yeshivashi Baretz. What do you mean, L'Shuv L'Shevet Baretz? What do you mean, L'Shuv live in the land? In the land, who lives in the land? What's that? Ariel V'Amer, Zu Kvura, that's burying. So we see that even if he dies prior to going to Galut, nevertheless, even though Mita Jero is Mechaper, nevertheless, we take his bones and we bury him in the here Miklat. Satana, Meit Kodem Shemeit Kohen Gadol. If he dies before the Kohen Gadol, Molichim Atzmutav Al Kivrei Avotav. And we take his Atzmutot in the end to the place of his forefathers. Dichtiv, it says, Yeshuva Rotzeach L'Eretz Achuzato. When the Kohen Gadol dies, he's taken back to his portion, his original portion, to the land of his forefathers. Ezu Yeshiva Shehi Baretz, Shuva Rotzeach El Eretz Achuzato. What does it mean? It'll go back to the Eretz. Achuzato, Hari Yomer Zu Kfura. That's his burial. So that's what happens. If he dies, if he predeceases the Kohen, and he hasn't been yet in the Ir Miklat, we take his bones and we bury him in the Ir Miklat. So too, if he dies in the Ir Miklat, we bury him there. Then when the Kohen Gadol dies, not only do we allow to go free all the Rotchim, B'Shogeg, that are found in the Ir Miklat, everybody who was buried in the Ir Miklat, we now uproot their bones and we take them back to the Kivrei Avotav. And we bury them in their places of their forefathers, in the graves or cemeteries of their forefathers. So Gemara says, Nigmar Medino, it's an interesting case, Venatza Kohen Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. His Gemara din was rendered. There was a Kohen Gadol that was there at that time. And then the Kohen Gadol is removed from his position. He is deposed because he's found out to be a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Obviously, he was disbarred, discohened. Right? From the fact that he was found out to be a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, what's the din? Is that the equivalent of the Kohen Gadol dying and therefore he goes free? Or now the Kohen Gadol can never die and he never will go free? So that's Pligi Bo, Rabbi Amiv, Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Nafko. Chadomer Meita Kikuna, Kmeita Kuna. If he becomes a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that's as if the Kohen Gadol died. No, he didn't die. The kuna is now removed from him. But he never died. Since he didn't die, nobody goes free. So let's say they're arguing about the same machlokas that we find by Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Lazar. It's not. Here's a kohen, he's makriv agabi mizbeach. His family suddenly found out to be that he's a kohen chalal, that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. He's not allowed to do avoda. So what happens? Everything this kohen did is pasul. Not only from today, but even lamafreya, retroactively. Everything is bad. He was never a kohen. He was never a kohen, then anything he did was not done b'torat kuna. Rabbi Yeshua machshir. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, everything he did until now is fine. From now going forward, pasul, it's no good. Mandamar meitak Rabbi Yeshua, the one who says that when he dies, when he gets a ben harusha, ben Grusha Machalus as if he died. That's like Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Because Rabbi Yeshua says that he's only Pasul prospectively. Meaning that if he's only Pasul prospectively, that means that basically he died at that moment. Until that point in time, everything was good. That moment he dies, and everything after this is no good. Madamer B'Telo, the one who says, no, that it's Batel. That the Kuhuna is Batel, as if the Kuhuna was stripped from him. Then he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, because it's like retroactively. The Kuhuna is stripped from him, that means he was never a Kohen. He's never a Kohen. Not only the Karbonot today, that he does prospectively problematic, even everything he did in the past was no good because he wasn't a Kohen. So Mar says, no. Alibo de Rabbi Eliezer kuliyama lo plige. Nobody argues that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you are retroactively disbarred as a kohen, and all the melacha, all the avodot that you did until this point in time are no good. They clearly, or Rabbi Lesser clearly holds, as if it's betela kuhuna. It's not that as if he died, but it's clear that it's betela kuhuna, that the kuhuna was removed from him, because that's why retroactively everything is pasul. Because if he died, then it shouldn't have any effect on the retroactive issue. It should be just prospectively. The fact that he looked retroactively means that according to Rabbi Lesser, even right, the other opinion, whether it's Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Yitzchak, will have to agree, everybody will have to agree, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that there is nothing to talk about. It is Vadai Rabbi Eliezer holds that he is not Meta. Kipligi Alevri Rabbi Yeshua, the Machlokus in Rabbi Yeshua. Madamar Meta to Rabbi Yeshua, the one who says that it's if he died, it's like Rabbi Yeshua. It says everything's prospective. We look forward, that's why. Madamar Betela, the one who says that it's Batel, Adkan Lokam Rabbi Yeshua Atom, the reason why the Karbonot doesn't say, he says it's okay for the retroactive, or the stuff behind, it was in the past. Baruch Hashem Chelo Ufol Yadav Tirtze. Right, so the Baruch Hashem Chelo, Hashem will bless his Chel Ufol Yadav, the work of his hands, Tirtze will be accepted. So what does it mean Ufol Yadav Tirtze? Afilu Chalalim Shibo. So Baruch Hashem Chelo, Chelo is the Chalalim. Hashem will give a bracha even to the Chalalim that which they did, Tirtze, will be acceptable. So even though, I mean, obviously if he knows he's a halal, then it doesn't work. But if they were unbeknownst to them that he was a halal and he does the avodah, that would be acceptable avodah. Avahocha, if Rabbi Shua modeh. But over here, even Rabbi Shua will agree that by the rotzeach mishogeg, that he needs the kohen gadol to pass away, that's not called passing away. It's a unique issue to karbanot that we say that everything in the past was kasher, even though he was a kohen pasul. But in the end, what is he? He's a kohen pasul, or a kohen that doesn't really have the ability to do avodah. There's a exception from the pasuk that says the avodah is okay. But when you don't have that pasuk and the exception, that means that the kohen gadol is betela. He's betel min a kohen. If he's betela min a kohenah, that's not going to help the person who's in the ir miklat. And even if he dies, it's not going to do anything for him. So that person is stuck there for the duration of his life, because there can't be any kohen gadol that will die, because his gemara din already happened. And that kohen gadol is ois kohen gadol now. And therefore, nobody can let him out of Ir Miklat, and he'll be there for the rest of his life. Okay, we'll stop over here.